Hello and welcome along once more to the latest edition of the Left Wing Back Podcast. As always, in association with our kind partners, Porrig Dunn Motors, Talbot Hotel in Carlow, Curra Sports, Ray Whelan Limited, Murray's Bar in Ballymurphy, Paddahorn Photography, Art Spas, and PFT Travel. If you'd like to email us to get in touch with us in relation to advertising or content or anything at all, you can do so, info@leftwingback.com, or you can send us a DM on social media at The Left Wing Back on Twitter, Facebook and on Instagram. So coming up on today's programme, we have a very interesting and very insightful conversation with Michael Walsh, former Carlow Senior Hurling Manager, current Casey Lohr Hurling Analyst, and has been for quite some time, for a period of 20 years. All-Ireland medal winner with Kilkenny back in the 90s as well, and the list goes on. Very insightful character, knows his hurling inside out, and gives us his thoughts on Carlow Hurling, where it's at, and maybe where it can get to. Speaking of Carlow Hurling, they put up a very commendable display against Galway on Sunday, losing out in the end by 11 points, but it could have been a lot closer. John Nolan hit the crossbar, lots of moments like that. Check out Leo McGough's article on the game, and indeed the talking points on leftwingback.com. The Carlow under 20 hurlers bowed out to Westmead last weekend after a challenging display, it must be said, but they did put up a good scoreline in the end, and Brendan Hayden and his crew have put in a lot of effort with the guys, as have Simon Ray and his crew with under 20 footballers. They also lost out to Westmead on Tuesday evening in the semi-final of the Andrew Cordon Cup. So lots of good work going in, and okay, the results might not always be there, but definitely players of real quality and calibre starting to emerge, and hopefully they break on to the senior fold in the not too distant future. In ladies football, Carlow got off to a good start in the Leinster Junior Championship with a win over Louth last weekend. They have Longford this coming weekend. Again, check out leftwingback.com for match reports there. And thanks to Megan Kane, the PRO of the Carlow Ladies Gaelic Football Association, for keeping us in touch and up to date with all things Carlow Ladies Football. The All-Ireland Minor Camogie semi-final, Carlow losing out in that one. So a hard look to Shane Murray and his charges there. Losing out to Armagh on the day in the penultimate stage there. But again, mighty work going in. And this weekend, look, very busy across both codes. And check out carlowga.ie and check out camogie.ie and the LGFA website for all the fixtures as well. You won't miss a beat, because, you know, these things do tend to change the time recording, and we would want to be responsible for giving out any misinformation to us. So those are the places to be checking up on all the fixtures. But I suppose the big one this weekend has to be Carlow Senior Hurlers Leinster Championship clash with Dublin. It is one that they have possibly been eyeing up in the long grass as a game that they might get a result in. Throwing in Netwatch Cullen Park on Saturday evening is at 6 o'clock, and it's one of three games in the Leinster Round Robin series this particular weekend. Earlier on the day, at 3 o'clock on Saturday, you have Antrim versus Wexford. That game is on GAA Go. Now, unfortunately, Carlow haven't been selected for GAA Go treatment this particular weekend, but the game with Kilkenny will be on GAA Go, I believe, in a couple of weeks' time. Sunday game coverage, not hectic, has to be said. Hopefully there's an improvement with that and the amount of airtime they get, because this game against Dublin should be a very good one. As you said, they are sizing it up, and there is a hankering that Carlow can do well. The other fixture, of course, in Leinster this weekend is on Sunday, with Kilkenny travelling to Pearse Stadium to take on Galway at 2 o'clock. So that's where we're at. As we said, check out leftwingback.com for our articles and all the other relevant websites of the different organisations for fixtures. The league's Arsenal ongoing, and Clonmore are flying it in Division 1 and there to take on Aroge on Friday. But again, check out carlowga.ie for all the fixtures information. Coming up next is the voice of Michael Walsh, as you said, a familiar one to listeners of KCLR. And we had a really, really good chat, wide-ranging stuff, and definitely stuff to take away from it. We do hope you enjoy. Now joining us on the Left Wing Back podcast is a familiar voice to listeners in the Carlow Kilkenny region. He's been with KCLR for, Jesus, for as long as I can remember, probably since God was a young fella. He's a man who I had the pleasure and privilege of sharing a commentary box with on numerous occasions. And I bought a steak on a stone one day in Salt Hill, and I didn't even expense it back to KCLR. He robbed me blind. Mickey Welsh, how's things, lad?
I'm good, Kevin, and yourself? Good to see and hear from you again.
Ah, sure, we're not going too bad. We're not going too bad. You're busy away, Mick. It's a while since we spoke, and it's good to catch up with you, of course. But just to give our listeners a bit of clarity, of course, that game we were talking about up in Salt Hill was a Fitzgibbon Cup final, I think, if memory serves me right. And I have to say, it was
the best
I ever had in broadcasting, even if you didn't buy the dessert afterwards.
We had a great day. Yeah, it was great to share the journey. It's a long journey up there. I had to go there again on Sunday, but no, it was a great day. We had a great day out. Result didn't go probably the way we wanted it, but look, we had a very, very good day, and it was a very good game as well.
How long are you covering games for KC Lara now, Mick?
I'm covering them since 2005. Would you believe? Just happened to be sitting in a 2005, earlier 2005, just happened to be sitting in the stand one day watching a match and was asked to go up and help out. And I've been there ever since and really enjoyed every minute of it, to be honest, with all the different people.
That's fair going. And would you done a bit of Radio Kilkenny kind of before that?
No, I never did that before. Funny enough, when I was growing up, I had an ambition to be a journalist or a commentator. That was my initial thing early on, in, let's say, when I was 15, 16, 17. And then I suppose at that time, I suppose I felt that maybe if I did, I wouldn't be able to pursue career in sport. And I kind of wanted to do that too. So that's kind of what put me off, to be honest. So I suppose it was a late call into what, you know, something I would have always have loved to do and always have had an interest in over the years as well.
Yeah. And it's mad the way it happened so organically. And then that little stroke of luck has you where you are 20 years later still, like, or 30 years, whatever it is, 20 years. Yeah, you're not that old yet.
No. And, you know, I as I said to you, look, just went up to help out on the day and I stayed in it then ever since. And look, we've had some unbelievable days. Like, it's been so lucky and such a privilege to be able to do all this stuff. You know, I'll be very, very grateful for it. To be honest, we've been very, very lucky as a county, you know, through all those golden years. And, you know, even the not-so-good times, it's still great to be able to go up to Croke Park and be able to live your dream and enjoying matches, sitting up in the commentary box with the best seat in the house. So I would be regarding myself as very lucky to be involved.
Yeah, for sure. It's fantastic. And how do you find, look, you're well used to it at this stage now, but initially, how did you find being in the public eye, I suppose, or in the public ear, and maybe the backlash that would come with that, and how does it kind of compare to now? Is it mostly positive, or how do you react when you do get the odd bit of flack up and down?
Yeah, look, as I said to you, it's a hobby for me. It's a labour of love, if you like, and I suppose, like everything, like it's times have changed, as you know yourself, when you started out. There wasn't a whole amount of social media. Now it's absolutely rampant. I just tend to turn a blind eye to everything. Everybody's not going to be happy with what you say. And the one thing I would have done, though, obviously when you're doing local radio, and it's nice to be a little bit biased, but I suppose some of the best things I would have heard as regards the best compliments, if you like, would be some people, many people from outside Kilkenny would have said to me, the one thing they do like about it is that fact that We try to be very fair, or I try to be very fair in anything I do or say. Like, I would be a real hurling man as regards, you know, other counties. I understand what they have or what they haven't, and I would be an admirer of that. So I try to be as fair as possible. Obviously, you're always hoping your own will win, and you're always hoping that they'll do very well, and that's the one thing. And I suppose the second thing then is, having played the thing, and I look, this mightn't be the right thing to do or whatever, but having played the thing for so many years and being in the public eye as regards playing and stuff like that, I would be careful about being very critical of any player as regards, you know, hounding them down. I would never do a thing like that. I'd be very fair in what, you know, if they're having an off day, they're having an off day, but it's not a personal thing. It would never be. And I think if you try and do those things right, you're doing okay. You'll always get the people that are going to have nothing good to say, but you have to turn the blind eye. But as I said to you before, and you know better than I know, when I started out and now, the social media thing is huge. So I try to stay away from. I'm not on that many platforms anyway, so it's grand.
Yeah. You try to keep a low profile on the social side, but yeah, Keep it old school on the wireless, as the fella said. But look, that's the way the landscape is moving, I guess, and it's given a platform for, well, a platform for all kinds of people, like, I suppose. And then there's the positive side of it, which is, you know, the fact that I kind of rely on it to get the message out from this particular platform and stuff. So, like, there's pros and cons, I guess, to everything. But the one thing, to go back to the point about, you know, whether you're calling something fair and all that, and you should call it fair. I mean, that's what we're here to do at the end of the day, and have an opinion and be honest about it. But the thing that struck me was empathy. And you have a lot of empathy, having been there, not just as a player, but obviously in a coaching capacity, in a management point of view. We know that there's a lot of things going on. And at the end of the day, it is a game, and we're there to enjoy it and treat it as a bit of fun. And it's important for people, I think, to remember that, Mick. Am I right or wrong in saying that?
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more, but I think it's gone to a stage now where it's gone nearly more than that. It's gone so serious. And again, I would put it down to the shift in life and lifestyle, if you like, over the last 10, 15 years, more so. You just summed it up perfectly there, but I think it's gone way more serious than that. It's discussed everywhere. And it was always discussed everywhere, but not to the same level as it is now. And I do feel a bit sorry for present-day players, particularly if they're struggling. And, you know, as well, like, that leads to other problems in life that have become prevalent over the last number of years as well. And I do really feel sorry for people now. You know, if things don't go their way, they tend to get, you know, very, very heavily criticised. So I'd be very, very wary of that, dealing with that in lots of different ways, whether it be through playing, whether it be through managing or coaching. And, you know, you would hear certain things, and you would be very careful to make sure that you're available to have an ear to listen to these young people, because it isn't easy. And for instance, the club game now, I would say, is every bit as good, or as definitely as important as it ever has ever been. It's really, really strong. There's more coverage of it. The split season has ensured that. And, you know, young lads, they're under pressure, and you have to know when to let go, and you have to know when to tell them, you know, as you said, and you rightly said, and I'd be the worst in the world for this myself, but you learn lessons as you go on. Even at my age, you're still learning lessons the whole time, that, you know, it's not the most important thing in the world either. And as you said there, we spoke about this off air, you know, and congratulations to yourself and your good wife. You've had a recent arrival, and I know at my stage, I'm at a different stage in life, but in the last year and a half, I've been lucky enough to have been blessed with a little grandson. And these things do actually make you think, hey, there's more important things going on.
Yeah, for sure. And like, it was something so simple as well. I was chatting to Stephen Bambrick, a good friend of the podcast, a little bit earlier. I think you might have had him on a county panel for a little while, but some bit of an episode might have occurred. Not that you were at fault for it, by the way, but I'll come to that maybe a little bit later, right? But I was only chatting to him about sitting down there last Sunday. Obviously, can't really go too far at the minute. Leo McGough covered Carlow versus Galway. But just sitting down with the young fella and looking at the game, and not looking at it from a deep-depth analysis point of view, just looking at it kind of mindlessly and appreciating what the game is all about and what time is all about and what life is all about. I know it sounds a bit deep now or whatever, but like, it does kind of bring you back to what it should be about. Like, at the end of the day, if you're looking at the game and you're not trying to be obsessive about it, you'll see who's standing out. You'll go back to enjoying the game for what it is. And like, I think sometimes we get too caught up in it. I certainly used to anyway. And now it's just about enjoying it for me, like, you know.
Yeah, no, and that's absolutely, and that's, look, it's very hard not to, and it is a serious business, but you know, it's really gone way more serious than it used to be. As I said, like, I heard inter-county in the 90s, and I would see the club thing has even gone further than that now. Obviously, I'm in the previous position of being able to be in charge of my own club at the moment, and the amount of effort that goes into that, and for everybody involved, is colossal, like. And it's still, you know, between gym and training and like that, you're working five or six different days a week, and there has to be that little bit of let go time as well. I know you see there with the rugby that it's often mooted that they're able to have their few drinks after a match, or, you know, whereas in the GA maybe there's a month long booze ban or 6 month long booze bans or whatever. And I think there has to be a little bit of give in all that sort of stuff, and lads have to be able to let go. Particularly in the present day, I think it's hugely important that little bit more enjoyment comes into it, because I think you'll probably get better results for that as well.
Yeah. Is it more stressful or less stressful with your own, Mick? Because we often hear this thing, you're a bad disciple in your own land, and you're obviously cherished in your land, right? But with that becomes, I'm not saying you wouldn't care less, but obviously you're going to really only love one club, or you certainly love one club and have the strictest of care and stuff for that. But can that be a danger at times as well, that we don't lose the run of ourselves and let it take over?
Yeah, you're spot on with that. Look, I've been in the first position of being involved with different people, but obviously there is one love, and you know, like, I've been in a really lucky position that, you know, I have been involved with my own club from, I would have said I've covered every age group over a span of, I don't know, many years, sometimes twice around, from under 12 up to now senior or whatever. And there's no doubt about it that, you know, with your own it's a hugely different thing, and it's hugely personal, and there's no question or doubt about that. Like, where I would also pride myself in that wherever I would be, it would be 110% commitment. And I think whether I do good or bad or make stupid mistakes, which everybody does, and I certainly do, it would never be for lack of commitment. But obviously, there's a huge difference when you're involved with your own club.
Let's take it back, just if you don't mind, for a moment to when you got the Carlow job. So I think that was in around the turn of the millennium. So how did that come about?
Yeah, I was actually not long out of playing too long, and I got a call one night from Eddie Byrne, and I met him in the New Park Hotel. Actually, Eddie Byrne was the chairman at the time, and I met him in the hotel with Tommy O'Neill. God be good to Tommy. And we chatted it out there, and from there, then I took over Carlow, and I had 4 years there, and you know, it was a mixed bag. If I'm being honest, I had trained Greg Namana before that, and it was probably the first big inter-county job, if you like. And times were different then. It wasn't simple at times. Yet there were so many really good, enjoyable moments in it, and so many good people to work with. The one mistake I made was by the end of the third year, I felt I had it in a really good place. Not that I had it, but we had it as a management group and players. I think we had really turned corners. We went up to meet, and now there was a story about that. We went up to meet, and there was a little bit of controversy before it. There was a soccer match on the week before, and some of the lads had played in it, so I was under pressure kind of to leave them off. So we kind of did, and you know, some of them were the best lads I've dealt with over the years. And Michael Dignan was over meet at the time, and they were going really well, and we went up and we were total underdogs, and we won the game by 2 points. And it's a day like you remember those days, because it felt so good after it. I really felt, you know, we had turned the corner, and you know, from there we went on and we got into a bit of an All-Ireland series, and Kerry, who were also very strong at the time, we used to have great matches with those teams, and they knocked us out. And that was the end of the third year, and I remember coming out of Turles talking to Eddie, and I said to him, Eddie, I'm after bringing this as far as I can. I'm really happy with where it is. I think I should leave it. And he was saying to me, please go home and think about it, and blah, 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 blah. So I decided to go again, and that was a mistake. I genuinely think to this day that's, you know, we all make mistakes. And the following year, I remember we played Kerry in Carlow in a home match, and they absolutely hammered us. And I remember my wife was actually shopping in the Fair Green Shopping Centre, and I went down to meet her after the match, and I felt like I was walking in space. I just felt so bad. And I knew it was the beginning of the end. And we played Mayo then the week after, and they hammered it as well. So I knew it was up then. And it's just a regret I have. I don't have too many regrets, thank God, but that is one. And as I said, I felt at the end of the third year, it was in a really good position with introducing an awful lot of young fellas, at the time young fellas. And it was just a pity that I didn't see sense. And I'm not blaming anyone, it's my own fault. I should have just saw sense and left it at that. But I have to say, I really got on well with Eddie. He was a brilliant chairman, and look, he's gone on to do great things since, and he still is. But you know, we had a great relationship, and he's a fellow I was really fond of.
You would have finished up about 03 or 04 roughly, was it?
Yeah, around that time. Yeah.
I suppose maybe the unfortunate sequence of events was that some really good underage talent had started to come through. Probably 02-03 onwards, but certainly, obviously, as we got to, you know, we're winning All Ireland B's and got the Leinster Minor A final proper then in the 06 and all that. And probably a little bit misfortunate from that point of view. But the other thing, of course, you know, and a lot of these problems, Mick, I'm not going to say whether it's fortunate or unfortunate or whatever the way it is. Maybe it's just a sequence of events. But a lot of our best hurlers are our best footballers. And that time you probably could afford to a certain extent accommodate a dual player. No, we can't. Well, here we are 20 years down the road, and I wonder, and it's a lot of the reason why I wanted to have a chat with you as well. Where do you kind of see Carlo now? Like, I think you'd have pretty good skin in the game still. Maybe not quite as much as when you were over the county, of course, naturally, right? But would you think from the outside in that we still face the same challenges? And where do you think our hurling has come, and what's next for us, like?
Yeah, well, first of all, I'm not really sure about the challenges. As you said, I actually go back to that meet game. It's amazing. And this is something that happened quite a bit at that time. We were travelling home on the bus, and it was absolutely high as a kite. Like, it was a big story at the time. Like, RTE were on and everything. It was a really great win, you know. And the following Wednesday night, we were training, and there was about eight lads missing because they were playing football. And that was a problem then. Now you just can't really do it, whether, and I'm not sure what way it goes on down there. But so I don't know about that part of it, but I do know, obviously, I've kept a huge eye on it all the years since. And like, Carlow have some brilliant hurlers now, and they also have a really good manager and a really good set up in place. As far as I can see from the outside, I know they have a good manager. I don't have to see that. I know what he does, and I know what he's done down there and wherever he's been. And I'm sure he has a really good background team. I know Christy very well, and Christy goes wherever Tom goes, and they have a really great partnership. They have some individuals that are as good as you'd see anywhere. Like, I was at Fitzgibbon cup match down in Waterford this year, and Chris Nolan, like, he possibly was the best player on the pitch for a lot of it, and you had some great hurlers on the pitch that night. So he just holds his own in any company, obviously Marty and others. And I've had the privilege of having a good few lads involved. I did the Shinty for a number of years, and I had a good few Carlow lads involved in that. And, you know, like, Carlow are in a very good place. Like, they're, I think they're probably at the top, you know, of we say, outside the elite counties, they're very close to being the top. I know they got a setback against Laois a while ago, but it's not easy, I'd say. Like, I mean, Tom Mullally will answer that question. I don't know what way it works down there, but there was always good hurling people. Even when I was there now, obviously, football is the main sport down there, has been, and same with Westmeath, I had been there as well. But when you have good hurling people, I always say this, people are on to me about the weaker counties. I don't refer to them as that, but that's what they're referred to, need help. But I always feel it has to start in your own county. And I would hold up Carlow, and I certainly would hold up Westmeath when I was there. There's some great hurling people there. And when you have good hurling people, you have a chance, you know. So I would say Carlow are in a good position. I would really think there's some great hurling people in the county. They're working off small budgets, and they're working off small clubs, numbers of clubs. But they really, I heard an interview the other night with Pat Murphy, and he was saying about punching, and they do punch above their weight. But I'd say that Tom O'Lally wouldn't like to say that. I'd say that he's an ambitious man, and I think that, like, he's doing a wonderful job down there. And you'd be just hoping and praying they could pull a scalp in this championship, and it would be no more than they deserve, because, as I said to you, look, they have a good structure in place. Whether they have enough, whether they have that 21, 22 that you probably need in this setup, and whether they're developed physically enough, that's another issue. I don't know that, but we'll find that out over the couple of weeks. Like, what I'm saying is, will last Sunday take a huge amount out of them? Like, if Carlow were playing Dublin in a one-off next Saturday night after 3 weeks break, I'd give them every opportunity. But how much is the effort of last Sunday going to take out of them? And that's where I'm coming at, the physical side of the condition and things. So we'll see. We'll see on Saturday night. Hopefully, they'll be in good shape.
Yeah. It's mad. I would say and suggest, and hope I'm not offending anyone inside of my own county by saying this, but with your time going back, whenever, 20 years ago, as we're saying, you had maybe a Johnny Nevin, a Shane Kavanagh, a Pat Cody,
yeah,
Robbie,
yeah,
Foley, possibly, yeah, Des Murphy, and all these guys, right?
And had all those chaps, yeah.
Of their time, like, they were, and incredible, the holy candle to anyone, I suppose. And then I'm looking at the forwards then in particular. So Robbie Foley and Des Murphy, so effective on the edge of the square. I'm not going to refer to them as bacon and cabbage type hurlers, but lump in a high ball in around the square, they'll catch a turn and, you know, buried whatever.
And yeah, and I was actually very unlucky with the two of them. You're dead right. But Robbie in particular, Robbie, who I got on great with to this day, he had serious injuries around that time, and he didn't hurl at all for one or two of the years because of injury. And then thank God I had him for another bit of time. But when you had him, when you had all them, you were as good as anyone. But unfortunately, he suffered desperately with injuries around that time. Nevin was just a warhorse. Like, he was brilliant. He was just, like, you just knew every day what you're going to get out of him. Pat Cody, you know, as good a hurler as in any county ever, like, you know. And I was lucky to have them, but I didn't have Robbie all the time. I reckon if I had Robbie all the time, you could stay there for a long time. I just didn't have him because of injury. But the four of them you mentioned, like, they're just warriors, like. And then I had the younger lads coming through, like James Hickey was starting off, another fella that just left everything he had on the pitch. Shane Kavanagh was really only the same at that time. And Shane was some player as well, like, you know, there were some great players there.
Yeah, absolutely. And then the modern forward, the Mouse and the Chris Nolan, is very different to the Des Murphy and the Robbie Foley. And I'm not doing the older lads a disservice. They're just a different type of player. You know, but they're a serious fucking player. I mean, for the modern, for like as you said, it'd hold a candle to anyone, wouldn't it? The Mouse and the James Dyes and the Chris and all these.
Absolutely. But it's a different kind of a game now as well. You know, that's when you were talking about the lads back, the game was completely different than it is now. And these fellas are thriving in the modern game. Like the modern game now is all about possession, playing the ball through the lines, using the ball, and pace. Pace is huge. And like they, like, no, they have everything. But I'd also say that good hurlers could play in any time and you'd always find a way to make sure of that as well, you know. But Kavanagh and Nolan are absolutely fantastic hurlers. Like, I mean, as I said to you, saw Chris earlier in this year. Marty, just goes without saying, his records over years are incredible. But this Nolan is serious stuff as well. He, like, you know, the night down in Watford, like as I said in that Fitzgibbon, he was absolutely brilliant. Like in a star studded lineup, he looked better than anybody.
Right, so I'll bring it to the present day and I won't take up too much more of your time, right? But I'm looking at obviously this weekend and the Dublin game has come around and there's an undercurrent. This has not come from the camp, by the way, but there is an undercurrent that while everyone is talking about the Antrim game as the one to win, that there is a possibility of a scallop with the Dublin or Wexford game. There was no one ever talking about for a Galway or Kilkenny game, and probably rightly so to that regard. But there's a hankering that there could be a scallop there to be taken. Now I listened to James Skettle with Will O'Callaghan and Paul Murphy on the Hurling Pod. Fantastic pod, by the way. And Skettle kind of confirmed what a lot of suspicions were inside the county and it stepped. And that's probably why, you know, I was kind of referring to what I was on about earlier in has that changed over the 20-year period. He had said for the 50 or 55 minutes or whatever it was, that Carlo matched Galway, but next thing in comes Conor Whelan and in comes Flynn and David Bourke and all these boys. And we just don't have that. And is that... do you think where we are likely to be kind of handicapped for some time? Or do you think would there ever be a day where, even if we have a low population base, that we could find that bit of depth? Like, is a crystal ball kind of pie in the sky question? Or
no, it's a good question. It's a really good question. It's something I said earlier there, you know, about, you know, maybe have, remember, I about the 2021, you need them. Like, you take the intensity of this thing that's going on at the moment. It's week on week, right? And you have Galway, who are, to be fair, they'd be a good step ahead of Carlo in the way they're physically strength and condition, all that sort of stuff. And but in fairness to Tom O'Lally, I've been watching him over the last number of years, and he's trying to create that depth by playing lads. Like he's definitely trying to create it as best he possibly can. But like, you have to be realistic about things. It's like anything. Like there's what amount of clubs in Galway, there's what amount of clubs in Carlo. Like you're picking from huge different bases for the start. You know, you have all that traditional stuff, which it is kind of important as well. And that's why we spoke about the overachievement of things like that. And it's something that could catch them. Like, this is what I also said earlier. How was last Sunday going to impact on both teams physically? I suppose Dublin played Wexford, Carlow played Galway. That's huge coming into this weekend, particularly when it's a tough game. And it is a tough game, and all the games, I suppose, are tough. But, you know, this is I would, as I said to you, if this match was on in 2 or 3 weeks' time on a standalone fixture, like Carlow have proven in their home ground against these counties, they can do really, really well. And I know there'd be a bit of fear of these counties going down there. But I'm just wondering how they can recover so quick from last Sunday, because that Pat Murphy's interview the other night was very good. He said it took them 35 minutes to get to grips with the standard being so raised from what they had played in earlier. And he said then they found their way, and as you said, then the Galway were bring on the cavalry. And, you know, but in fairness to Mullally, he's trying to introduce new players, and I know a number of them played. Some lads made their debut. I think it was 8 or 9 lads played their first Leinster Championship match, according to Pat, the other day. And that's fair going. That's absolutely fair going, because it's not simple. So you'd have to admire them for the way they're definitely trying to develop that. They know that, and they want to stay compete at Liam McCarthy. And I think that's hugely important. It's brilliant to win the Joe McDonagh. It was one of the best hurling matches of the year last year, if not the best. But they want to know, and I love the ambition of that. I love the ambition of, it's like playing Ryan B and Ryan A. You want to be in Ryan A and you want to be learning. And in fairness to Carlo, they're absolutely trying to do that. They're trying to stay, like I like that interview the other night. Pat was saying, we want to stay in the Liam McCarthy, and that's the ambition it should be. Playing against the top, learning all the time, getting better all the time. And Tom Mullally knows to do that, he needs to develop more players. And in fairness to him and his management team, they're trying to do that. So is it never going to happen? I think it can happen. I think that definitely can happen because, you know, they're obviously working to a good standard in there. And yeah, and you do need it, and they will need it over the course of this championship.
Yeah, I suppose it's the million-dollar thing, and I don't like referring to teams as yo-yo teams, but, like, I mean, in essence, Carlow, Antrim, Westmeath, Kerry, Laois kind of have been yo-yoing up and down, and you're looking for that modern-day, what awfully were back in the day, that will sustain it and push on and challenge. And, like, for the best part of, I don't know, what we look at now, is it 20 or 30 years, have we seen an example of that? Probably not. So, like, it's probably the biggest question out there in hurling circles at the minute. And this is just talking from maybe, as you said, the counties that are just below the elite into that. It also tiptoes and ladders accordingly the whole way down to Lowry Mar, Nicky Rackard as such. It's just, it's a curious one. If you could crack that particular one, hurling would be on a real winner. Like, but it's just very difficult, isn't it? Like,
it's very difficult. And you're dead right. If you look at the records of all those divisions, it's the same teams that are kind of going up and down and up the whole time. And that's exactly what you know, I'd say Pat was alluding to the other night. This is what someone needs to set the example. And why not let that be Carlo? Someone needs to set the example of, do you know what? We're going to stay in this Liam McCarthy for as long as we possibly can. We're not going to be that yo-yo team. And this is what I think Pat was alluding to. Unfortunately, as I said to you, like, it's Carlow and Antrim this year, they're coming from that lower base. And Antrim are really struggling at the minute. Like, you know, Antrim lost four or five players throughout the league. They're better players. They came back about 4 weeks ago. But in Nolan Park last Sunday, you knew that those four or five players, they didn't last the 70 minutes. And they're class players. They're absolute class players. And Darren has done a brilliant job up there. But you'd be worried. I was just thinking of my own situation. You'd be just wondering. And I hope for his sake it's not the case, because he's a brilliant man. He's done a brilliant job. And you'd be wondering, like, can he resurrect it now? And next week is a big week for them. But that's another story, I suppose. But that's the key. Like, he's been trying to build that up in Antrim as well. And I admire him, and I admire Tom Mullally, because I think they're doing fantastic work. And they just, you know, they do their work, they stay in the background, and they're trying to get their teams to be. And I, you know, in some ways, that's huge, and that's nearly even better for them than maybe even winning All Ireland, because they know that's not going to happen. But my God, if Carlow were still in the McCarthy Cup 3 or 4 years down the road, what a job they've done!
Yeah, and what a job, and maybe what a knock-on effect they might have into underage squads and stuff.
Yeah.
So, Kilkenny's point of view, then, I suppose, let's move on to that. So, well, very quickly, yeah. Can Carlow take a scalp outside of Antrim? Are they capable of taking a scalp?
Yes, they are. They are, yeah, they are. If they get a rub of the green, if they keep injury free, they're definitely. And look, let's be fair, it's probably the two matches we spoke about. They're the ones they'll be targeting, and they're, you know, if they can get one of them out of that, they're certainly capable, yeah.
Kilkenny, then, very quickly before we finish up, right? I mean, yeah. You mentioned it there with the Antrim game, the ruthlessness there, right? They did not let up, like, and you see the type of lads that were losing throughout the game, what they were bringing in, the depth they'd had, and lads looking to make an air for themselves, Wall. With a couple of goals, and that's just one off the top of my head now, right? But
yeah,
Kilkenny, obviously there's an element of hurt there over the past couple of years, and I really like what I'm seeing with them. I like what Derek is about too. I mean, that was an unenviable and impossible task in many ways to actually go into that particular position and role, considering who come beforehand. But Derek comes across, he's his own man. I like what he's about. He seems very fair. He comes across good in interviews. I don't know what he's like in a dressing room, obviously. I don't know what the vibe is like. You used to hear all sorts of things about Cody, what do you call it? And I don't know if it's somewhere fact or fiction or whatever. But he's bringing through players. He's developing guys. He's giving them an opportunity. You know, Wall that I mentioned, Malai coming in, Murphy there from Glenmore, not Owen, obviously, the other lad, Shane. All these guys coming through, Mick, like, are they the best equipped, do you think, still at the minute to take outright honours? Or did you see enough in Clare last weekend to say to yourself, Jesus, hold on here now, there's, you know.
Yeah, I find the whole thing, I don't know, I'm using the word funny. It's very hard to make it all out. The first thing I'll say, you're spot on about Derek. Derek is a very sound individual who he has his own mind, though. I know Derek very well, and like, he's his own man, and you know, that will come true. Yeah, he worked under Brian for many years, so obviously he has a load of, it's like anyone that's worked under a manager goes into a job, he has a load of traits that would probably be similar. And bit by bit, they are introducing players. I like what I'm seeing this year in the Kilkenny underage teams as well so far, which is good. But to go back to your question, the best equipped. First of all, Limerick still have a bit to prove to me as regards this year. I think they're one of the greatest teams that ever lived. The way they won last Sunday just proved that again. Are they slipping a bit? It's hard to know. Why did Clare lose? I don't know. But do Clare have the full belief in themselves? I don't know either. But to be honest about it, Kilkenny certainly are in the last two All-Ireland finals, so you'll have to say they're very well equipped. What are Galway going to come to? My point is that if take out Limerick and all those counties played one another, I just don't know who'd win. That's the best way I can put it. I absolutely have no idea on a given day if Kilkenny played Galway or Kilkenny played Clare or Clare played Galway. I have no idea when I'd wake up that morning who'd win those games. I think they're all pretty even and it'll evolve over time. But if Limerick have compacted the pack a bit, anyone could win it. And that includes Kilkenny. And as you say, like, I wouldn't be judging a whole lot on last Sunday if I'd been very fair, because Antrim were just gone and awful. They were really were poor on the day. This Sunday will tell a bit more. Again, there'll be a certain amount of whatever shadow boxing, because everyone expects the Leinster final to be Kilkenny and Galway. And the pressure, if it is, will be all on Galway, because they need to win a trophy, I believe, this year. So it'll be very interesting to see. But to answer your question, like, yes, Kilkenny are very well equipped, but so are many others, and it's very hard to know of who can come through this. I do believe Kilkenny and Galway have an advantage. I'll be fair about that. I think that they will be fresher going into an All-Ireland series than the others. Now, I know they've both suffered at Limerick hands over the last couple of years, particularly Galway. They've met them in semi-finals and we've met them in finals. But it'll be a toss-up as to who can win the All-Ireland this year. Someone at Kilkenny said it might take 10 years. Maybe it will. I don't see that, though. I think that Kilkenny are coming strong enough, and I think there's a lot of young lads coming underneath that will be strong as well.
Curveball to finish. Would you have taken the Galway job if you're offered it? It's the most divisive thing in Kilkenny. I don't know if you're ever
3 years ago.
But you know yourself.
Yeah, I think if the job was appetizing enough, and like, I mean, you're obviously like, what was Henry to do? You know, wait around. He decided that he wanted to go, and the best looked him with that. He's a very honourable fella. I've had the pleasure of maybe talking to him once or twice, not a whole lot, but he's a very honourable fella, and I think, you know, that's the key I would find in that.
You know, talk of handshakes this weekend, and yeah, I think the boys are pretty.
No, well, you see, yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing. If this was two years ago now, we'd be getting all hung up about, you know. I just felt a lot. That was anyway. It happened and it's done. But there won't be that much talk. But I'll tell you though. In fairness, it mightn't be over handshakes, but I'll certainly tell you that, you know, the rivalry will still be the same. Derek and Henry are all good friends, and you know, with good friends, when they're on the sideline against each other, they certainly don't want to lose to each other. So the rivalry won't change. The handshakes might, but the rivalry won't.
Good stuff, Mick. A pleasure as always. Great to catch up and great to see you. Mind yourself. All right. Thank you very much.
Take care, Kevin. Thanks. Good to talk to you.